Good morning, and a very warm welcome to you all. I have some pastoral news. Cathy Seymour has had an operation and is now recuperating at home. Margaret Randall was in Kingston Hospital, had her operation cancelled twice, but today she is going to Epsom Hospital, where this should happen quite soon, the operation. Rosemary Moore was home on Tuesday and is recuperating and has given me a message to read out. Rosemary says, I must tell you that I'm overwhelmed and humbled by the many phone calls, messages, cards, visits and gifts from our church friends this week. Such love and encouragement has been wonderful to receive, and I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. And that's Rosemary. Stella has a message about knitting and sewing, which will happen this Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the foyer. And Liz would like to speak to you about something.
Well, it's only 2 weeks till the concert, and so it's 2 weeks today here at 4 o'clock. I do hope you're all going to come, and please think about who else you could invite, because it's a lovely opportunity to invite people from outside the church. A lot of visitors came to the Music Fest concert in September and were absolutely thrilled with it and really enjoyed it. So think about your groups, other groups that you belong to, and make sure they know about it. Give them a piece of paper. There are plenty of little leaflets about. And we've got a really fantastic programme that's coming together now, so look forward to it.
Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sally, and I will be leading the service today as Leslie is away. Let's start our service in prayer and a call to worship, which will be on screen. And there will be an opportunity for you to respond to the words that are written in bold. The Lord promises to give strength to his people and to bless them with peace. Will you praise God in our time together? We will. Will you entrust to God all that lies ahead at the beginning of this new year? We will. Will you listen to God at the beginning of our journey through Mark's gospel? We will. Amen. Our first hymn ties in very nicely with our Bible story today. We're going to sing On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry.
Thank you.
a prayer of confession. John the Baptist called people to say sorry for the things they had done wrong. So let us very quietly say sorry for the things that we know we shouldn't have said or done. And thank God for the chance to start again, afresh, today. Amen. We give thanks for the voices of those who speak encouragement into our lack of confidence, who speak affirmation into our lack of self-esteem, who speak truth into our lack of clarity, who speak wisdom into our lack of understanding, who speak healing into our lack of wholeness, who speak patience into our lack of time, who speak challenge into our lack of gratitude, who speak silence into our lack of stillness. We give thanks and pray that we too might speak with your voice, in your name and to your glory. Amen. And we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We have a box at the front of church, and I've asked Steve if she'll help us see what's in the box.
Would you like to take the lid off, Dahi? Take the lid off. See what you can find inside. Ooh, what's the first thing? Show all the people. Wait just a minute, Matilda. You've got a big piece of blue. Wait a minute, one at a time. Just a minute. Wait. What do you think? What does that make you think of? Something. Pardon?
Blanket.
A blanket or something. I don't know whether the sky is blue today. It's a very dark blue, but we might think about the sky. Right. Matilda, do you want to come and get the bottle out now? Oh. Right. Okay. We've got a bowl. That's blue as well, yes. And what have we got down there? Hold it carefully. Oh, water. Now, we're going to pour this water, into some of it, into the bowl. Well done. Now, where does water, some water, come from? We have rain. And what do boats travel on? Water on the sea, or sometimes on a river. Right, so we have sky and we have river. What else have we got? Ooh, can you see, can anybody see what that is? Honey. Do you like to eat honey? Right, there's somebody in the Bible who ate honey. Right, let's take the paper out. Ooh, what's this? It's a locust. Would you like to eat a locust? Oh, definitely not. Oh, what's that? Can I hold it just a little bit higher? What is it? It's a bird called a... dove. Right. Oh, now what have we got? A leather belt. Lot of people here are probably wearing leather belts. And some very... Wait a minute. Some very rough material. How do you fancy making... How do you fancy wearing that? With a belt round. Bit scratchy and rough, isn't it? Wouldn't be very comfortable. And what's the last thing? A heart. And what does a heart stand for? If you see somebody gives you a heart, it means they... They love you. That's right. Let's put that down on there. And those all come in our story later on.
Can you guess what the story is yet? We're going to stand and sing, God Forgave My Sin. Because John the Baptist preached forgiveness of sins and Jesus did the same. So let's stand and sing and then we'll have our Bible readings. Our first reading from Isaiah chapter 40 is a prophetic foretaste of what was to come. Our second reading is the story of the baptism of Jesus, as you've rightly guessed. Our first reader is Olive Springham.
The book of Isaiah, Chapter 40, Words of Hope. Comfort my people, says our God. Comfort them. Encourage the people of Jerusalem. Tell them they have suffered long enough and their sins are now forgiven. I have punished them in full for all their sins. A voice cries out, prepare in the wilderness a road for the Lord. Clear the way in the desert for our God. Fill every valley, level every mountain. The hills will become a plain, and the rough country will be made smooth. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and the whole human race will see it. The Lord himself has promised this.
And our second reader is John Watts.
Our gospel reading comes from Mark in the first chapter, beginning to read at verse 4. So John appeared in the desert, baptizing and preaching. Turn away from your sins and be baptized, he told the people, and God will forgive your sins. Many people from the province of Judea and the city of Jerusalem went out to hear John. They confessed their sins, and he baptized them in the river Jordan. John wore clothes made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He announced to the people, "The man who will come after me is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to bend down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Not long afterwards, Jesus came from Nazareth in the province of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As soon as Jesus came up out of the water, he saw heaven opening and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear Son. I am pleased with you." Here ends the lesson.
What I thought we'd do today is try and enter into this Bible story that we've just heard in an imaginative way. And some of you will have heard of someone called Ignatius of Loyola. He was a man who lived in the 16th century, I think. And he would approach a Bible passage and he would imagine that he was there. He would think to himself, what can I see? What can I hear? Who is with me? What can I smell and touch and taste? How do I feel about what's happening in the world around me? What would I like to say to Jesus? What would I like Jesus to say to me? And he found that it gave him a fresh, renewed vigor to his Bible reading. So with a little bit of help from you, I hope, otherwise this is going to be a very short section indeed, we're going to try and enter into this Bible passage and then we're going to try and relate it to our own lives. And to do this, I need to enlist my glamorous assistant. Round of applause for my helper, please. I'm going to help us, hopefully, with some prompts, which I've left up here. Oh, they're there. Going mad. Trudy is going to speed sketch some of your suggestions. So if you could open up your Bibles, please, to the passage from Mark chapter 1, verse 4 to 11. What's the page number, please? 45, page 45 in the New Testament. So, what does Jesus see? Put yourself in his place just for the moment in this story. What does Jesus see? John. Okay. You can write John or draw a stick man or a locust. Not even a locust covered in chocolate would be appealing to me. That's saying something. So he can see John. What else can he see? Lots of other people waiting to be baptized. I'm liking John and his facial hair. That's good. So lots of other people waiting to be baptized. Yeah. The river. So he'd see the river. And presumably, at some point, he'd see under the river. Because he would have been, I was going to say dunked in the water. That doesn't sound very holy, but you know what I mean. He'd have been submerged. Thank you, Teresa. He would have been submerged. So he'd have seen what's under the water, maybe. I don't know. Depends how clear or dirty the water was. What else would he have seen? Fishes, maybe. Sorry, someone said John's clothes, yeah. So a bit of sackcloth. Wild honey. Yeah. What about when the heavens tore apart, what would that look like? Would that be a bright light or darkness, or what do you think it would be like? Clouds parting. Slow down a little bit. So glad I asked you to do this. So clouds parting, yeah. A dove? Oh yeah, don't forget the dove. Do you think that would be a gentle fluttering down of a dove or a swoop? A gentle fluttering down. Okay. She's very good. That's a really good dove. Don't know how you're going to draw light. And I'm not sure how you're going to draw a voice. A speech bubble. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so step aside when you've done that so we can see. We can have a closer look at this later. Okay, so what would Jesus hear? So we know about the voice from heaven, because that's what it says. But what other sounds might there have been down by the river? A gentle voice. Okay. A dove. Birds singing. Birds singing. Water. The rushing of water. Murmuring of voices. Don't know how you're going to draw that. So people chatting, birds singing. A sharp intake of breath, Trudy. Shock, yeah. Sorry? The Spirit. Don't know what sound the Spirit makes. The dove? Babies screaming? Babies making a loud screamy noise, maybe? Or maybe, yeah, maybe it all went very quiet at that moment. Looks like Moses in the bulrushes. What can Jesus touch and feel? Grass under his feet, yeah. Sand, hot sand and dust. Water, cold or warm? Warm. Yeah. Although I had an amazing honour of going to Israel, and I went into the River Jordan, and it, even though it was really hot outside, it was cold inside. Didn't think it would be, but it had a bit of a shock. Okay, so he might have felt the water. When John lowers him into the water, how does he feel? Does he feel safe? Apprehensive, possibly? Does he notice his clothes are wet and clinging? What does Jesus taste? Do you think he got a gulp of water on his way down? Muddy or salty? Muddy. Yeah. What can he smell? I didn't notice that it smelled, the river smelled of anything, but nowadays there's lots of tourist things nearby, and you can smell people cooking falafel and pita bread and stuff like that. So who knows, someone might have been cooking something at the side of the river. Fires, camels, donkey dung. Trudy, I'm afraid you've got to draw some donkey dung. How do you think Jesus would have felt? This is, it's the start of Mark's gospel. Mark doesn't tell us anything about Jesus' childhood. So this is really the first big event that he describes, the time that Jesus is baptized. An amazing event that changed the life of Jesus and empowered him to go on and change the life of others. So how do you think Jesus would have felt at that moment? Excited, refreshed, someone said. Excited, refreshed, apprehensive, overwhelmed. Energized because of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in the Bible, people are always impassioned and energized. Yeah. Enlightened. Yeah. And do you think that when God said, "You're my son, and I'm pleased with you," the reason I included this is because I think he would have been very, very aware of the love of his father. And at the beginning of his ministry, and he knew what he was going to have to do even then, 3 years' time, I'm going to have to give up my life in a terrible way for the forgiveness of sin. He would need to know that he was very much in the Father's presence and very loved by him. And he would need to know that he was who he said he was. I am God's son. This is why I'm doing this. And for all of us, I think we need to hear that we are God's children. place our own name in it. You know, Sally, you are my daughter, and I'm pleased with you, and I love you. And the same for each of us. Maddie says that Jesus would have felt a great love for John the Baptist, because John the Baptist had been faithful, done exactly what was asked of him. We've got a pig in the desert. Oink. Okay, thank you, Trudy. We have a closer look at that later. Well done. So what about heaven breaking in for us? What I'd like you to do is to think about a moment in your life when heaven broke in. So maybe it was seeing something in nature that you just thought was awesome. Maybe it was meeting someone. Maybe a particular life event. A particular time when you felt that God spoke and answered your prayer. And when you've thought about what that is, what I'd like you to do is to think about the detail of that and write it down on a piece of sticky note that I'll hand round. And write down, can you remember a smell, a sound, a sight, a taste, or a touch about that moment? And write it down. And then I'm going to ask you to come and just stick your sticky note onto this collage. And it says here, heaven breaking in. And there's a picture of Jesus, and you'll see when you get close up, he's in the river, and you can see the Spirit of God coming down. And we'll create our own collage of moments when we felt close to God, when we felt that God had perhaps spoken to us, or somehow heaven has broken into our lives. So I will pass round the post-it notes. I've got some pens. If you have your own, please use your own and share. If I say take one and pass it on. So, thank you. So it's a time when you felt heaven breaking in. So something you've seen, or a time when you felt particularly close to God, or something really important that's happened to you in your life, and you've just wondered at it. And then write down something that you've seen or heard or smelt or tasted. And then come to the front and we'll create this collage. And we'll thank God for those times when he's been very present to us. And we'll pray that the Holy Spirit will bring more of those times. And perhaps, Solhi, could we maybe have some music when people are coming up, and we'll have a time of reflection. How are we getting on with the post-it notes? Should be some coming round. Let me give some of the love heart ones. Okay. To go around that way. Does everybody have a pen and a piece of paper? Okay, good. And when you're ready, please do come to the front. And when we've done that, we'll pray together. We've got lots of references to creation, sunrise and sunset, a rainbow after heavy rain, flowers. And we've got lots of references to the birth of a child, colour, music, singing. People thinking about the time that they got confirmed. Someone here has said, when I wanted to give up, he shows me the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many ways that you break into our lives. The times when you've spoken to us, the times when you've been very close to us, the special times, the joyful times, and for those times when we found life tough, but we sensed that you were still with us. We thank you and praise you so much that you stepped into our lives. And we ask that by your Spirit, you would continue to speak to us, make yourself known to us, that we would see evidence of you at work each new day. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to excite us and embolden us, to refresh us and prepare us for what you would have us to do, just as you did with Jesus the day he was baptized. And we so long to hear your voice telling us that we are your children. You are pleased with us. You care about us. You love us. We're going to have a time of quiet reflection. I've chosen a Teze song from the Teze community in France. I'm not asking you to sing along, just to listen, but the words are in your service sheet if you want to know what the words are. And it's called Veni Sancte Spiritus, which means Come Holy Spirit. And I just ask really that we use this time to quietly reflect and ask God to send his Holy Spirit to us individually and as a church, and to worship God. And my quotation for today on the service sheet was from C.S. Lewis, who said, "In worship, God imparts himself to us." So as we listen to the song, it's about 6 minutes long, let's just quietly reflect on God breaking into our lives and what he can do when he's with us and walking alongside us.
Veni Sancte Spiritus, 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 Veni Sancte Spiritus,
We pray for those whose lands have been torn apart by war. For those whose bodies have been torn apart by illness. For those whose minds have been torn apart by grief. And we think today especially of the events in Paris. The family of the Muslim policeman who was gunned down outside the Charlie Hebdo office said this: "I address this to all the racists, the Islamophobes and the anti-Semites. You mustn't mix up extremism with Muslims. The madmen have no colour nor religion. Islam's a religion of peace, of love. My brother was a Muslim and was killed by two terrorists, by false Muslims." But in East London, some people said, "Why are you asking what we think of Paris? It's 250 miles away and in another country. What happens there has nothing to do with us." And yet it is our Christian duty to speak out. Paul said, "God has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has enlisted us in this ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer holding people's misdeeds against them, and he has entrusted us with the message of reconciliation." The multi-faith group Faith Matters calls on people of all faiths to stand up and speak out. This cycle of hate and counter-hate needs breaking, and it also means that we all have to work to ensure that extremists, bigots, and those who seek to divide do not succeed in their endeavours. We pray for those who've been torn apart by poverty, for those whose homes have been torn apart by floods and earthquakes, for those whose childhood has been torn apart by abuse. Break through their pain, loving God, and bless them with your strength and your courage and your healing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our offering now, and then we'll have our final hymn. Thank you. To our money, I add our heart. Heavenly Father, we bring you our money and our hearts, our time, our gifts. We know that we only give back to you what you have already freely and generously given to us. Thank you. And we pray that it would be used to your glory and honour. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Our final song is Meekness and Majesty. May we go with the humility of John the Baptist, with the eagerness of the crowds who flocked to see him, with the confidence of Jesus affirmed by his Father, and trusting that we do not go alone. May we go and be blessed today and every day. Amen.